And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
We've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do!
Tyler won, he scores! And the sticky ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it!
Hello and welcome back to Red Side. Trent here to discuss the 3-0 defeat to Liverpool at Anfield, as well as slept on it thoughts, player performances and more. I'm your host, Adam Wicklow, joined as ever by fellow Reds fans, Reece Lane and Christian Brown. No Lee Clark, unfortunately, work and all that sort of jazz has gotten in the way. We'll probably not talk about the game in too much depth because I think there's been a lot of grief on social media and I don't think the performance was quite there, and I'm sure everyone's heads will probably fall off if we go too much into it. But I'm going to start with you, Reece, as you were the man on the ground there at Anfield. The team selection obviously wasn't the best to go to start with Chris Wood being out now for 4 weeks, as it's been reported, with a hamstring injury. So Anthony Elanga having to play up front on his own, and then as going to a back five. What were your thoughts going in when you seen that lineup? Because it couldn't have been very high.
Probably not, no, but it was kind of needs must, wasn't it? We were struggling with injuries a bit, and I listened to Steve on the radio after the game when I got home back from Liverpool, and he said it we'd had a plan, which obviously involved Chris Wood. That got scuppered at last minute because he got injured, which is really frustrating. Again, another injury picked up in training or whatever. And then we kind of, like I said, it's needs must. We end up playing a winger up from really in a central striking position, who has also been apparently ill this week. So it wasn't ideal at all. And I think that kind of plan, what Steve had come up with, had kind of gone out the window because, as you said, Adam, we went to a five and I've said on this podcast before, I don't think Sergio Aurier is a wing back. He was playing as a wing back. And yeah, it was kind of how long can we stay in the game for? And until, as we'll come on to, the first goal, I thought it was okay. I didn't think we was under any massive pressure. Of course, Liverpool had more of the ball, but it wasn't as if like there was completely pepper in our goal. But as soon as that first goal went in, that was kind of it, wasn't it, really, unfortunately.
The problem is now, though, is if Chris Wood is now injured and Taiwo's come back for the last, I don't know, 20 minutes and he's clearly not going to be fit enough to start, it's like, what the heck do you do? Like, what would you do if you knew about Chris Wood like beforehand? What do you think you would have done differently?
What can you do differently? We've got three central strikers, haven't we, at the club, and one was injured yesterday in the build-up, another one we know is injured, and the other one's just coming back from injury. So, you know, there's a couple of people on social media, why didn't you start Taiwo? Well, if he starts Taiwo and he breaks down after 20 minutes, then he's going to get even more flack, isn't he? So, what can you kind of do when you there's just kind of no option, isn't it? And it's not like where you're back in the Football League where you're kind of like, oh, just chuck a kid in there, because you can't chuck a kid in there in this league against arguably one of the, well, definitely one of the best centre-halves in the world at the back for Liverpool. So, yeah, it was needs must and it was disjointed, but it was kind of what more could Cooper do, really, in that attacking sense. The options were, as we've just discussed, more than vastly limited, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into it. And Christian, after the first half an hour, which Reece alluded to, we looked all right. But I think the chance that obviously Murillo, where he gives the ball away after he's dribbled into a bit of an alleyway, really, a dark alleyway, in when he gets the ball nicked. And I think when we saw him do that against Brentford and Crystal Palace, you kind of go, well, right, we've got a right centre-half here, but he is going to be suspect to this kind of mistake at some point, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I sort of applaud the bravery and the confidence to be able to do that, or have the ability to do that, and think, actually, you know what, I'm going to have a go at you. But it's just a time and a place of it, isn't it, really? I mean, I'm laughing. I shouldn't really be. I mean, we've got a centre-back who just thinks it's all right to come to Anfield and just waltz around five players. I mean, on the one hand, it's a kind of lack of respect that we've sort of been craving for, to have someone in the team do it. On the other hand, it's sort of like you kind of need a bit of a tinge of realism when you're choosing when to do that. But, I think the issue is for me, and, you know, obviously I'm already accepted, I'll get pelters for this because of what I said about Turner previously, is that there's always a chance to fix a mistake, or more often than not, there is anyway. And, you know, Murillo loses the ball in their half. Liverpool still have to move the ball 60, 70 yards before they get near our goal. And fair enough, McAllister does it very well. He very quickly gives it to Nunes, who obviously turns it into a 3-on-1. But, you know, I just think back to when we had Navas last season, I think after the Brighton game, or the Leeds game, definitely. And we, all of us, really, like, hammered Navas for saying, like, why are you parrying the ball back into play? Turner's just parried it straight into Hotter's path. I mean, like, and, you know, this isn't just me being like, oh, Christian's on a Turner agenda now, he's a new Williams, blah, blah, blah. Like, Shay Given said it on Match of the Day as well. So, you know, he's someone who's played in the Premier League for 10 plus years. So, you know, I think it's frustrating because, that yes, it's a mistake from Murillo. Ultimately, it's led to that, and that is the root cause. But we still have a chance to fix the issue, and we don't. Like, ultimately, when Nunes shoots from there, like, the defence, what's left of the defence, have actually got him into a pretty, you know, realistically, he's not scoring from that angle. You know, if fair enough, if you're going to shoot from there, fine, we'll concede the corner. Murillo comes back, we have a word with him, say, like, time and place, don't do it. But as soon as Turner just palms it straight into Hotter's path, it's like, okay, well, that's game over then. So, like, it's just very frustrating. I mean, like, so, yeah, I mean, yes, you can be annoyed at Murillo. And yes, fair enough, he shouldn't have lost the ball there. Again, you know, you pick your moments. Is Anfield, in front of 52,000 people, in front of possibly one of the best teams in the world, a chance, the best time to be waltzing around five people doing your best Maradona impression? Maybe not. But equally, you know, had Turner parried it out for a corner, it's something we'd be laughing about now and say, oh yeah, by the way, what about that from Moreno, eh? What a player we got there. So it's, yeah.
I think it's funny because obviously you kind of want Murillo to keep doing that kind of thing, because on another day he actually releases the ball and he's taking four players out.
He makes the right decision. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
and that's obviously going to come with experience. He's only just started. He's only, like, I think that was only his like just over his 30th game in professional football. So
yeah,
I kind of see it to it. I was actually going to come here with defending Turner before I actually rewatched the goal, because I thought, oh, he's actually at full stretch, so fair enough, he's palmed it as far as he can, and Yotta's there, and you kind of want your striker to be following in as you get taught as a kid. I know, Reece, you played as a striker. You always get hit hard and low and across the goalkeeper, because if they palm it out, your strike partner or winger will come and follow that in. But actually, re-watching it, it's kind of in the middle of him, and he should probably palm it away further, so I kind of can't really defend him in that instance. That's what I was actually going to come with, but they come like London buses, don't they, Reece? Because once one goes, then the other comes. And to be fair to Liverpool, it's a really good move. But on another hand, I think you can put probably maybe a bit of blame on Ibrahim Sangare and not tracking Szoboszlai there, really, in all honesty. But could anything else be done to prevent that goal? Or was it credit to Liverpool?
I mean, from Liverpool's perspective, if we were Liverpool fans, and I'm glad I'm not, but you'd be looking at, like, even the first goal, how they sprung on us for that goal. That was very similar to how we got our goal at Chelsea away, where Yates and Mangala had pushed on that mistake, and they literally sprung so many players forward, and then they left us in a bit of an overload situation. But the second, again, yeah, it is good play. I mean, Szoboszlai, I thought, was the best player on the pitch yesterday. I thought he was excellent.
Agreed.
We spoke earlier into in his group chat that Garth Crooks had put Mo Salah in his team of the week, which was a shock to me, and Szoboszlai wanting it, but that's up to him. Sangare should track the man. There's no denying that. I think if it was certain other players, we'd have a bit more to say, wouldn't we? So you've got to be consistent, and he should do a lot better there. And then it's pulled back, and it's a pretty much a tapping, isn't it, for Nunes, really? And like I said in my first comment, once that first goal come, it was something we kind of did last season, where once that first goal had come, then we conceded a second pretty quickly. And then once it got to 2-0, it was like, if we could maybe nick a goal, we might get back in the game like we did at Arsenal. But Liverpool kind of really had us at arm's length, didn't they? We tried to get Alanga through several times, and it just shows you the levels, really, that Virgil van Dijk didn't break a sweat and kept up with the lad, to be honest. So, yeah, I mean, the only positive I can really take out of it, and it's something what Steve again said on the radio after the game, is we didn't do what we did last season and completely capitulate and end up getting absolutely hammered. I mean, if it wasn't for a terrible mistake second half, it would have finished 2-0, and we would have walked away and said, well, fair enough, it's not good, but it's not a game where we've lost five or six like games last season.
For me, Christian, the game was pretty stale, but I actually do think there is a point where you can kind of give Forest maybe a glimmer of hope at 65 minutes, where Morgan Gibbs-White goes down the right-hand side and pulls the ball back brilliantly towards the penalty spot for Nico Dominguez. But I don't think they'd watered the pitch too nicely there. He just, like, tripped over his own feet. I mean, I think if he gets contact there and he should score, that's game on, isn't it? But, like, I think after that, Liverpool didn't look like they're interested, to be honest.
I mean, it's weird because we didn't show any real ambition to win the game. I think that's a fair assessment, because we're very much, let's contain Liverpool and then see what we can do. But to be fair, it mostly worked. Like, most of their efforts, even the first half, apart from the mistakes, like Murillo getting caught out on the ball, and then obviously Sangare not tracking his man, most of their efforts were from range. Like, and fair enough, Szoboszlai forced Turner to a very good save at his near post, but they weren't really, like, there wasn't a time where I felt, oh yeah, we're really under the cosh here, and, like, you know, our keeper's making save after save after save to keep us in the game. It was just sort of like, you know, Salah has very, very quiet, I thought. You know, he didn't enjoy Murillo at all. And, you know, generally speaking, from that side of things, it was okay. But then obviously, the counter to that is, basically, whenever Liverpool made mistakes, we weren't ruthless enough. There was twice, two occasions in the second half, especially the one you just mentioned, and one about 2 minutes beforehand. And both of them, I felt so bad for Gibbs-White. And, you know, because he just ran and ran and ran. He had nothing to work with. And the only two times he did have something to work with, he was let down. The first time, he puts the ball across the box. He looks up, and like Reece alluded to earlier, the Van Dijk, he realises that Alanga is not going to win a heading match with Van Dijk or Konate. So he said he pulls the ball back across. And there's four Liverpool defenders who all run towards a goal, and they all miss it completely. And it's something that Man City do all the time. It's something that Man City assistant coach has actually said on several occasions, is that the last person into the box up for a cross is more often not the one who gets on the end of it, especially if it's cut back. And there's no one there. Dominguez, Mangala and Sangare. Fair enough, Sangare is meant to be holding, but they're 10, 15, 20 yards behind play. And it's just like, you know, what are you doing? Like, that's the difference. A better team, or a more ruthless team, I should add, will have someone in that position, and they'll force Alisson into a save. Because Liverpool, teams like Liverpool and City, they don't give up many mistakes. But when they do, because no one's infallible, you have to be on hand to punish them ruthlessly. And we won. And that was the first instance. The second one, obviously, finally, Dominguez realises that actually I better run into the box. And what kicks the ground instead of the ball. I mean, you couldn't make it up, could you? I mean, I do rate Dominguez, and I think he's had a very good start as far as his career, but that probably wasn't a game he wants to remember fondly. I think his first three touches of the ball, he gave the ball away straight away. And that sort of summed up his day, really. You know, like, he had to score there, or at the very, very least, work Alisson into a save, get a corner or something, because, like, he's got the goal at his mercy. He's on the penalty spot, and he's just literally kicked the paint on the penalty spot and gone over. It's like, you couldn't make it up. At that point, it was like, right, it's not our day. Like, done. Yeah.
But it's such a shame, because obviously I think Reece, we hit the crossbar through Alanga, and I'm not sure if he had the other chance before.
Literally last kick of the game, he had a shot and Alisson saved. That was a shot on target, actually, I believe.
Yeah. But I mean, we've got to talk about the huge blunder for the third goal, and whether now it's Odysseus Vlachodimos's like shining light to get a chance in this team. But what on earth is Matt Turner doing? Because for me, as a goalkeeper, you can see absolutely everything. You can see Harry Toffolo's under the ball. You can see he can either head it back to him or head it away. And neither happens.
Yeah, I do kind of laugh, because it's been turned into by the football pages of this incredible pass from Szoboszlai, when he's just really hoofed it into an area and he's seen Mo Salah up there. But that's Harry Toffolo to deal with. I watched it back. I mean, at the ground, when I see him turning running out, I knew in my head it something was going to go wrong, because they both looked at one and each other. Then both kind of went to go for it, and then the ball bounced and kind of in between him and Salah. It's just an easy finish, wasn't it? But it looked on the replay that Toffolo was just going to head that back to me. If Turner was in the position he should have been, I've no idea what he's doing coming out for that person. He should really be trusting his... I know Toffolo is against Mo Salah, you know, he's one of the best wingers in the world, but he should really be trusting his defender to deal with that. You know, and that was... That put kind of the shine on the result for them, really, because, yeah, like you said, Adam, it wasn't as if Liverpool weren't trying, because of course they're trying, but these teams, when they've got your arm's length, they'll keep you there and think, well, we'll just preserve his energy for another day. We won't overextend, because we've got these guys at arm's length and we don't have to go overboard to beat them. So, yeah, you know, we've spoken about, there's been rumblings on social media the last few games, haven't they, about Turner being replaced. For me, the worry for me with Turner is his distribution. That, where he has to put it onto his other foot, kind of takes too long. And he nearly actually got caught out again with that yesterday. There was one point, I'm not sure it was, who blocked. So, if it is going to be Vlachodimos, is it how you pronounce it? If that's going to be
Vlachodimos.
Vlachodimos, if it's going to be his time, then you'd expect it to be against Aston Villa, wouldn't you, really? Because if it ain't going to be on the back of a mistake like that, then when is it kind of going to be? And there's also been reports that he isn't happy, he hasn't had a chance. So I'm sure he won't be best pleased if he don't get a chance on Sunday against Villa.
Yeah, definitely.
I think we'd all like to see him as well, because let's be honest, I don't think many Forest fans are watching Benfica in Portugal much, are they? So I think with the reputation he's kind of got and what we've heard about him, I think we'd all like to see him, see what he's like.
Yeah, the mad Greek, as some reports have said, haven't they? But I did want to talk to you a few things about, like, in terms of personnel, obviously, because Wood is not here. We'll do this before slept on it, thoughts. But Christian and Reece, feel free to chime in here. With Ibrahim Sangare, he's been receiving a few murmurings of criticism that he's come in and kind of not lived up to the height. I thought yesterday was probably his most poor game, but do you think he's kind of playing a little bit out of position, or do you think it was just because of how he was set up yesterday? It didn't really allow him to get forward as an eight, almost, like he has been with Dominguez, and he kind of just looked like a rabbit in headlights sometimes.
I mean, I think Reece sort of touched upon it earlier, really. I mean, it's a very good point. I mean, we signed him as this, like, defensive midfielder, number six, whatever else. Obviously, he's yanked the shirt off Shelby. Great. But, like, so why are we now playing him as a box-to-box midfielder? It seems a bit strange to me. But, I mean, I think Lee got it spot on the podcast a few weeks ago when he said that there is a big reason that Sangare is getting some of the flack that he's getting, and that's because certain people think he's keeping a certain midfielder out of the team. The reality of the situation is that that certain player isn't and never really has been an offensive midfielder. So really, you'd be looking at Dominguez for taking Yates' place. So I don't really, I think, you know, it's much like Lodi, much like Mangala, Lodi especially. Lodi's probably the best example, actually. His class will come. He will shine. There's a reason why he's played in the stages he has. There's a reason why he's had the career he has. There's a reason why he's commanding the transfer fee he has. It will show. Like, the Premier League is a very tough school. It's not something that, or something very few players get to grips with straight away. I know, obviously, Szoboszlai has for Liverpool, and that's great, but also, if you're spending £60 million on a player, you kind of expect them to do that. The flip side of that is, how many transfers can you think of for big money that haven't worked out? It took Grealish a whole year to be good at City, really. Anthony's been signed for €100 million and he's been absolutely terrible. Sancho as well at United for much, much more than, you know. So there's no sweet science to it, really. But I do think Zangari will come good. I do think some of the criticism is a little bit over the top. There was no dissenting voices for how well he played against Brentford or Palace. You know, there's a few little murmurings on his debut against Burnley, but, you know, that's okay. And then he's looked pretty solid mostly ever since then. But, you know, he makes a mistake and, of course, all hell breaks loose. Yeah, I mean, I personally would rather see him in that sixth role and let Mangala get a bit more further forward, but I'm not the manager, so...
Are you saying anything to add?
Yeah, I agree with the last bit, what Christian said. I kind of think it maybe should be the other way around, because at the minute it's kind of... And there has been instances where he has played as defensive mid. Apparently, he's had 4 games as centre mid and 2 as a defensive mid. But you watch kind of Mangala is kind of that guy who's dropping into the towards the centre-backs to pick the ball up on the half-term. Whereas, like I said, we was desperate for apparently for this number 6. We've brought a number 6 and now we're kind of playing him and hoping he can get as forward as a box-to-box midfielder, where really, when he's getting to the grips with the Premier League and the pace of it, it's going to be quite tough for him. And I think you can evidently see that. Because, you know, I said this last week about Alfie Darty got by him a couple of times where he was struggling to get back. So, you know, I've said this before, it is going to be time. I think he's done okay so far. Do I think I've expected a little bit more? Of course, because of the value we brought him in for. And plus, for me, this is something personally, I didn't think it would help because of who we've sold to bring this guy in as well. Because we've sold an attacking winger who's one of our own, had a very good season last season, helped us stay in the league, helped us get promoted. So there will be some fans, despite Sangai being the defensive mid, there'll be some fans who'll be kind of saying, or what we want to see more than what he's doing, because we brought him in tackling and intercepting them type of roles. And yesterday he got the most out of that midfield, for example. So, yeah, it's just every pod in the minute we're talking about Sangare. And yeah, so like I said, and I'm just keep repeating myself that it's going to take time. The interesting thing is he's now on 4 cards, which I noticed yesterday. So one more and he will be suspended for a game. So if he, with his record at the minute, which is 4 in 6 games, he could drop out and then someone else might come in. Ryan Yates might come in. Santos might come in and then they might play well and he might find himself on the bench and he'll have to work hard to get back in the team, which if that happens, that might be good for him as well. So we'll see what happens. Christian hit it bang on the head with Lodi. You know, Lodi was getting absolutely hammered, wasn't he, at first, when he first signed of how poor he was, and then in the end people wanted him to stay and was begging him to stay. So yeah, plenty of time. Yeah,
for me, I think with Mangala, because he's so intelligent in terms of picking the ball up and kind of having like moving pieces almost around him, it allows him to do that. I think Sangare, I think what we've seen kind of thing, and is trying to progress up the pitch a little bit more. Him and Dominguez can go and be that ball winning those two ball winning midfielders higher up the pitch and kind of get us up there. And Sangare, when you've seen what he can actually do in around the penalty area, you're kind of like, well, he's quite tall and he's quite technical, isn't he?
He's definitely shown glimpses. I mean, there was a couple of passes. I think it was the Brentford game, wasn't it, where he pinged one across the pitch and there was one where he chipped over the top for Aurier. I just don't think it helped him that he missed an absolute sitter last week, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that's probably set him back to kind of square one again with some fans, which is fair enough in a way because he should have buried it, let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
He's made an error yesterday, really not tracking Szoboszlai line. It's led to a goal, which, you know, that kind of put it beyond us into the game, unfortunately.
There's an onus anyway on Forest fans that they love digging out a player that's cost us a lot of money. I mean, João Carvalho got chased out of the club by some, so let's face it. But anyway, we're going to get onto some slept on it for, so I will play the jingle now.
Red side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
Okay, Jerry Pritchard, lots of mistakes leading to chances and goals. Yates has to start. Sangare isn't showing enough yet. Thought Andre Santos looked quite lively. Why so many injuries? Hope Tyro can start against Villa. James Rutter, went today. Think Cooper needs to be braver with team selection. Trust the back four, which gives the opportunity for an extra attacking player. Serge needs a rest. Sangare needs to step up. Expect that will be the last we see of Turner for a while. Chris Walsh, not impressed with Sangare at all. Looks sluggish, uninterested and lazy. Didn't put them under any pressure. They would have had harder training matches. That's now four individual areas that have cost us in two games. Only plus is that it's not our full strength team. Matt Gutteridge, not much has changed from last season when playing the big sides. The only difference between this season to last is Cooper's time. I don't know what that doesn't really make that much sense. Okay, anyway. Will H said it last game and we'll say it again. We have gone as far as we can under Cooper, I feel. Hope to be proved wrong. Andy Cameron, another bad day at the office to be accurate. Lee Chilvers, not sure what some fans are expecting. Not many teams will get anything at Anfield. Extremely restricted on what team available to start and that impacts formation. Don't agree with Steve Cooper out comments. Our start has flattered, raised expectations of a top 10 finish. Let's stick behind the team. Premier Elliott, bad day at the office, sadly. Would like to see Sangare get dropped for Yates in the next game as Lodi last season needs to learn to play better and with passion or get replaced. Respect to Christian for his lovely Pink Forest top in the Anfield wrap episode on Thursday. Joe Weisel, obviously a new starting 11. And last but not least, we'll go with Phil. Better team than last season, much worse performance. In reality, we may not get any points from the next three. If we don't, that's no wins in nine. Do we really think the owner will accept that with all the backing he's provided? And I think a lot of people kind of touch on a lot of good points. The whole thing with Cooper is there's a lot of pressure, obviously. We'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to do some player performances, which is going to be a bit difficult because I don't really think anyone was that good, really, to be honest. We've touched on a few players, so I'm going to kind of change it. But Christian, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to actually give you Ryan Yates because I actually thought he looked like he'd come on to try and prove a point, to be honest.
He did. He looked like someone who's hungry to get his shirt back. And to be fair to Yates, he played well when he came on. He got stuck in straight away. You know, he looked like he was finding his passes. You know, making a nuisance of himself. All the things that we associate with Ryan Yates. That was pretty much it in a nutshell, really. He played well. It was much better than his little cameo at Luton, put it that way. Although obviously that wasn't entirely his fault, as we know, because you know we can see when the manager brings on two midfielders and they both drop to the D of their own penalty area, you know it's not just a one person thing. So he'll be again not much more he could do really. Played well, got stuck in, you know, challenging for the balls, you know, the loose balls especially. Like it's a classic, like. No such thing as a lost cause, it felt like. We've said these things time and time again. He's very industrious, very wholehearted, very committed. But with a bit more touch of quality with his feet this time, which is nice to see. So, yeah, definitely gives Cooper something to think about. Obviously, Villa have got what, Douglas Luiz and John McGinnis in their midfield. Tillemans sort of floats in and out. So, it'll be interesting to see whether Yates is sort of thrown into sort of combat, any of that. And obviously, if he is, who will drop out? So, yeah, he hasn't done himself any harm with that performance, put it that way. And as you rightly said, one of the brighter sparks of an otherwise dismal afternoon for Forest. So yeah, good for him.
Yeah. Reece, it's quite tricky because we talked about Morello and Sangare and I'd actually given them to other people actually on the pod. Obviously, Lee couldn't make it in the end. But I'm going to give you Morgan Gibbs-White because I thought for someone who He had to pretty much do it on his own, didn't he, yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing... This is, again, repeating from the last episode. He was out wide again, and I've said on the last episode, I feel he's isolated out wide. His best attributes is through the middle and linking the midfield to the attack. The problem kind of was yesterday, we didn't really have an out-and-out attacker, did we? And Alanga, bless him, and it did show because he was offside probably three times in the first half an hour. So, yeah, I think we've got to find a way to get him back central. And I'm hoping that will start on Sunday. I'm hoping Taiwo, with another week's training and a bit of time under his belt yesterday, I'm hoping he will be fit to start and we can get him behind Taiwo, really. Yeah, not really much more.
No, there really isn't.
He put like Christian. I mean, Christian mentioned it earlier because I don't want to keep repeating myself as well from what Christian said or other previous pods. But he put the ball across into for Dominguez. I was at the other end, so I've not seen that on the highlights. So I was bowing to Christian's knowledge on that. And I mean, what more can he kind of do? Really, there was probably one instance where I think there was quite a simple ball on it, and he tried like the outside of the foot, which when it comes off is superb, as we've seen in the Leicester game last season, and Liverpool just cut it out. I mean, he was trying, and I mean, but what more can you do when there's not really much up there? You're against, like Christian said, one of the best sides in the world who are really on form at the minute in Liverpool. It's kind of like, it's very tough.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You win? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, this is the problem when you've just got so many injuries up top and you're kind of relying on him to be the bright spot playing out of position.
To be honest, I think that was his plan. Once the original plan had gone, the plan A had gone, I think plan B was basically stay in the game as long as we can, then try and get 20, 25 minutes out of Taiwo at 0-0 at the end and maybe we could nick something there. But that plan went out the window in the first half, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is the thing now, because I've got a question for you, for each of you as well, about kind of Villa and kind of where we're going to go in these next few games. But so, like, my first one is how do we turn this around with so many injuries up top? I mean, Reece, you put in our chat about we need to kind of question what's happening in the medical department because we're getting so many injuries in training, more so in training than in matches, it seems.
There was questions raised last season, weren't they? But
we've had like a revamp this year.
Yeah,
that's
what I was literally going to get onto. We've added all these staff members, and it still kind of keeps happening. You know, we've brought in. I know Tavares was on the bench yesterday, but we've brought in two wing backs who we've not seen much from. I mean, Felipe, he's been out all season. Obviously, Tyro's been injured. Now Chris Wood's injured. Origi's been injured. Hudson-Odoi is another one. And it's never kind of like a knock, is it, where they'll miss a game? It's always like, seems to be always a month, you know. Steve said that Wood will be a minimum of a month. So it's not ideal, is it, at all? And we've again spoken about on this pod before how the media bang on when it's a big six team, how they're missing players and why they're having poor performances. But others don't get much talked about. So when it has effect on the best, I mean, it's going to have a massive effect on, you know, a pretty middle of the road Premier League team, which is how we are really at the minute. So Yeah, it's not good, is it? Let's be honest. I mean, you can see why people are asking questions about it.
Yeah. Christian, what would you do differently with this information that we've got pretty much? Because I know you want Taiwo to start on Saturday, we all do. I just can't see it happening. But I think Cooper alluded to that he actually probably gave him more minutes than he actually wanted to because he's only just come back. It's you don't want him to break down again as Reece said earlier, because otherwise you're in the same spot again.
Do you remember when in 2010, I think, 2010 World Cup, I think Kevin Prince-Boateng had a hamstring injury. I think he got in the FA Cup final and then saw this witch doctor and it mysteriously heals. Like maybe we should find that witch doctor and get to work with Wood and Origi. But
I remember the old days of the oxygen tents with like when Rooney had done his metatarsal and all that crap. The media used to churn out and touch Rooney's ankle or Michael Owen's ankle on the front page of the Sun and stuff.
Get one
like
of those faith healers. Yeah. Honestly, I've got no idea. It's such a difficult question because, like Reece said earlier, it's not like we're in a league below where you can just go, all right, yeah, throw in like a Sepa Song or someone like that. Or if we had Dale Taylor at the club, go, all right, son, off you go. We can't do that. Like it's detrimental to their development, if nothing else, because he's just saying, good luck. Like, by the way, here's a pull of piranhas, in you go. Like, so it's so difficult. I mean, I don't... One of the things with Alanga, I know he's obviously... He's not a number nine, is he? Let's put it that way. I think that's the simplest thing we can put. Like, the timing of his run was so bad. Like, I mean, and that's not. I know that sounds like a criticism. It's just not his role. Like, it just seemed like all the things that served him so well out wide, he couldn't really apply in that sort of like middle position. He got eaten up by Van Dijk every single time, and the only time he actually looked like coming to life in the game was when Taiwo came on, because he could move back out wide and he felt more at home. And obviously, he got those two chances from those two crosses, like. I actually like it's what I've noticed is how integral someone like Taiwo is to our team since we've been injured. And obviously, yes, they're a perfect example. Even if Wood was on the pitch, I know Wood isn't the quickest and you know, all the most mobile necessarily, but in terms of the overall structure of how the team's set up, it makes a huge, huge difference having an actual number nine on the pitch. And yeah, we really, really missed it. So I think it wasn't they say Origi was out for 4 weeks as well, so that might be two weeks now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think realistically you have to do it again. You have to you can't start Taiwo like Reece said, because if he breaks down after 20 minutes, like we saw it last season. Remember when he first got his groin strain at Southampton, and they were like, "No, stay on, don't worry." 10 minutes later, he's had to come off. And he's out for 3 months. So. Like, we can't risk that happening again, because especially with the injury situation we have to wrap him in cotton wool. We have to manage him as carefully as we can and, you know, ease him in gradually. If he can give us an hour, great. If he can't, you know, he's going to have to come off the bench again, isn't he? So, but it's a very unenviable task for Gibbs-White and Alanga, because neither of them are strikers. And obviously, we toyed with Gibbs-White as a false nine last season, but... I don't know. I just don't see it. It's a tough decision. Yeah, I think realistically he's going to have to go, unless there's some miraculous recovery from someone somewhere. It'll have to be like again 5-3-2 again, and then that'll get people's back up, because obviously Forest playing five at home is never going to be ideal. Because it's not a three; it's literally a flat five. So, yeah. I don't know. What do you do? Unless you take one out of the Billy Davis book and find a Greg Alford and put him up front. Like,
let's put Sangare up
top. Sangare up top. Why not? Yeah, target man.
I think you've got. I know I mentioned about him breaking down, but we have played on Sunday, but we're not playing Saturday, I guess. So you have got that little extra day, I guess, with no midweek game as well nowadays. So you're probably going to have to start him, because we need a focal point up there. You know, Christian's just mentioned last season when we tried that false nine and that just didn't work, did it? I mean, when we tried Johnson, Lingard and Gibbs-White, it just didn't work. And we're so much better with Taiwo in the side. We really are. And you could see that evidently yesterday. Alanga was far better when he moved to the wing in his natural position, because there was one time I think he took Trent Alexander-Arnold on and got to the byline. He obviously hit the bar. He had the shot at the end. So... yeah, ideally, hopefully we can get at least an hour out of him, because we need him up there.
This is going to sound stupid, right? I potentially part of me wouldn't mind chucking a Sapporo song because at least it's one lad surrounded by a lot of senior players. That just because of his physicality, that sounds stupid. The other stupid idea is we play 4-4-3-1-2 and we shove Yates in the middle of Elanga and Gibbs White and kind of play off him because you know he's going to cause havoc. Like, I know it's stupid, right? But at least, right, Yates is up there. He can kind of press Douglas Luiz and you can kind of almost suffocate and play like almost a diamond. And Yates is at the tip of the diamond.
Or
you swap Dominguez and Yates. I know this is it's stupid, right? What else can you do? Because I wonder he's not going to start. I'm guaranteed.
I think he's got a chance of starting. And he's been playing too much football manager. Played too much football manager with these wacky ideas.
I don't have as many injuries as we do.
Either though, that's the thing. So go on, Christian.
Just all the chances that Yates missed. Like, I mean, obviously, all the stats like Nerds have said, like how he's due a goal, how he's like, I think like +3 in terms of goals he should have scored compared to what. Imagine rolling the ball to him for a 1-on-1. It's like, come on, get break your duck. But
we can definitely rule out the Sapporo someone because he wasn't even on the bench, was he yesterday? So
no. It's all. Or do you play on? Do you play Andre Santos as like a? As a player because he can play central attacking midfield and you go with a kind of a diamond midfield. I'm trying to throw ideas out there because I don't want to play five at the back unless you play with high line basically.
Really,
you need Aina and Toffolo or Tavares to play high and we don't play high. That was the problem yesterday. We were so deep.
I think the best case scenario we can do would be false nine. I know Reece just said that didn't work last season. Obviously, there were fleeting moments in that Spurs home game where it looked good, which is that there was no killer conviction at the end. There was no one to gamble when the balls that came in the box. That, realistically, it'll probably be, if Tyro isn't fit to start, it'll be, you know, Elanga on the left, Gibbs White on the right, and maybe Santos through the middle. Because you can't risk playing a kid. You can't risk playing someone out of position.
Santos like, is a kid now, isn't he?
Yeah, I know, but he's also one we've got on a loan and paying to have at the club.
And he's, you know, a Chelsea player as well, so who's spent a decent amount of
money. Brazil on the 20 caps.
Yeah, I mean,
and he can score goals. Get him in.
Cooper said, didn't he, yesterday that we'd given Taro longer than he wanted to. So, I mean, he only played 20 minutes. I guess you could add, what was the... 5 added on, I think, so 25 minutes. So could he start, like you said earlier, Christian, give us an hour? I don't know. We're going to see this week, aren't we, in training? I mean, that is the ideal scenario because, like I said, we need a focal point. Without it, yeah, you're probably looking at 5 at the back where, really, if you want to get forward, you've got to be playing proper wing-backs. Then you're free in the midfield where you'd be looking at... The problem is with... The three midfielders, we've agreed they're pretty solid, but as we said earlier, one of them isn't kind of gambling to get forward, where one of them's kind of got to gamble to get forward. That isn't Sangare, in my opinion. No. You're probably looking at Dominguez, aren't you, really?
Dominguez was doing that, and then but yesterday he just like didn't until very, very late on, and then he fell over himself.
I mean, you've got to kind of take the opposition into account, and because it is Liverpool, you know, you'd hope maybe at home, I know Villa are flying at the minute, but at home we'd be a bit more braver because let's be honest, we were brave, weren't we? With Murillo was brave, and look what happened, we got completely sprung apart and ended up 3-on-1 pretty much. So,
I think another
solution, choosing the moments to be brave because that was ultimate football basketball, that was, wasn't it, for Murillo?
I just realized another possible solution. Obviously, we've seen the pictures being back in training now. Although Webby's with the start, who knows? Maybe Danilo comes back in.
Yeah.
Maybe Gibbs White plays down the middle as a false nine. You have Danilo on the right and Elanga on the left. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be an option. But again,
he's coming back from a hamstring and injury. Yeah, and it's like
contradicting ourselves in a way there because Danilo's not played at all and Tyro's given us 20 minutes and we're saying Tyro isn't going to start, but we can kind of chuck Danilo. And we'll see this week, won't we? The only people who know will be Steve and his staff, who's and the players of where they are.
bring on the international break.
Well, it's funny, right? Because obviously on social media, everyone's saying, oh, let's get Cooper out. But another manager's going to have exactly the same problem. And I don't think they're going to do too much different. I think we still have to stick by him and give him the time.
It's not everyone, mate. It's a small minority, and you always
they make a lot of noise, don't they?
Yeah, because I love what most Forest fans have for Cooper. You know, like I said earlier, he is our generation's miracle man, and there might be a few older fans who might scoff at that. But when you're drawing with the likes of Weymouth and Salisbury in League One, and this guy's come in and got you promoted after spending years rotting in the Championship in the third tier, that is how you kind of see him. Because these days, let's be honest, you're kind of thinking, watching the Premier League from afar, is my club ever going to be there? And he is the one who, after all the managers have had, has delivered it. So, yeah, when people are saying, oh, let's get him out because we're in a bit of a mini rut at the minute, which we are, let's be honest, yeah, it is going to offend some people. But everyone's paying fans have got the right to the opinion, and he's still got plenty of time in the bank for me, and I'm hoping he can get us out of it.
I think as well, like the people talking most about Cooper's future is the fans. There's no noise from the media. There's no noise from anything else.
Which is
it's
good,
just fans speculating.
And like the media last season were on it, weren't they?
Yeah, that in itself is wrong because we're assuming like naturally it's a game from the sack, which isn't the case at all. Like, you know, I'd be very surprised if it was the case. Put it that way. Like like you just said, Adam, whoever comes in, like I said, be it Potter, be it Lopetegui, be it Jose Mourinho, be it Guardiola, they still have no striker to work with. So, you know, it doesn't make it, it makes no sense to sack him now anyway. But
Pep would have us in some right mad formation.
He probably would have gates up front. Yeah.
he didn't need a striker to win the Premier League. But the other thing is, as well, when you look at the league table, we're one win away from being 11th or 12th.
Yeah.
It's really chalk and cheese. Like the league is actually a lot tighter than you think it is. And we've got a little bit of a cushion, but with the fixtures we've got is kind of, I mean, I know Lee's head fell off completely after last week and he's like, where are we going to get our next win? And to be fair, he's right on one hand, but on another hand, it's a strange old game. And at home, I back us to beat anyone.
It is still early days into we're a quarter of the way through the season, and I forgot what I was going to say. Nah, so you just kind of took my call. But yeah, it is early days, isn't it? Still, yeah,
of course. Like Adam, like it's are you glass half full, half empty? Are you 3 points off 10th, or are you 6 points off the relegation zone? Like nothing was ever decided in October. We're not doing too badly. We've got 10 points. It's 6 more than was last season. I don't want to sound all happy clappy here because I'm not particularly pleased in the way we obviously imploded last week. I felt that we've probably dropped at least 4 points at home, realistically. If you look at Burnley and Luton, and realistically, even the Brentford game, I know we came back from a goal down with a man down as well, but that's a stupid position for us to get ourselves into. And we could have won that game, especially with 11. So, you know, but equally, we're much harder to break down than we were last season. Yes, we've got attacking issues, but equally, we've got half the attacking lineup out, so there's not much you can do about that. It's just a case of grinning and bearing it, really, for the short time. I still think Cooper's the right man. I think that given time, again, we all said this, everyone said this, fans included, not just on this podcast, we all said it's going to take time to turn from a team who has routinely 40% possession and hits on the counter-attack to a team that starts buying better players and starts having more of the ball and starts being able to dictate games better. That doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take years. It took Brighton 4 years to get to that point. So, you know, it's not something that like someone's going to rock up with magic wand and go, right, that's it. We're now going to be title challengers. It doesn't work like that. And so for me, yeah, Cooper's, unless we get to a point where, you know, we're near Christmas and we're in genuine contention in the bottom three, at that point, I don't think his job should be even spoken about personally. Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, just before we move on, Adam, my point was going to be that this is all stemmed from last week's capitulation, isn't it? Because if we'd have held on and won that game, we'd now be sat in 12th and we'd be 8 points above the relegation zone. And everyone would have said yesterday would have been disappointed to lose at Liverpool. But it's all stemmed from last week. If we'd have won last week, there wouldn't have been half these issues. And that's where we've kind of got a win from now, haven't we? Where next week, you kind of look at and think, well, maybe a point at best. We've got to maybe look at upsetting the apple cart, really, and trying to get 3 points at home from somewhere.
Yeah, well, we're playing high-flying Villa. They're doing tremendously well. We've got just, I mean, how the bloody hell we stop them, I don't know, because for me, Unai Emery is probably the best manager outside of Klopp and Guardiola in my eyes. I think he's better than Arteta, to be honest, at the moment. He's won way, way, way more with a far less team than what Arteta's got at Arsenal. So that's my personal opinion. But Christian, how do you see this game going? Obviously, I know we might be doing hopefully a fan preview again together. But what do you see? What's your initial thoughts for it?
Firstly, I'm loving the affection for Uncle Unai. Because
I'm still fuming that Leicester Stevens in the FA Cup last year knocked me out of the last man standing.
Oh, he's several miles from fans. They heard you say that, Adam. They'd be raging. Like, I do agree with you, though. I mean, like, you know,
the stats prove it. He's won about a million Europa Leagues.
Someone said on TalkSport the other day, it's any team with Villa in its name. It seems to be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Well, it's since he's come in, Villa are either second or third in the league.
Flying. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
flying.
And Ollie Watkins has turned into like Michael Owen. So, you know.
The goals they've scored at home is remarkable. Like, but no, one of the favourite things I say at my Arsenal fans is, mates, is like, oh, the only trophy Arteta's won was with Unai squad anyway, and they get very annoyed about that one. But going to the game itself, it's going to be hard. It's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, I actually felt that when we went to Villa last season, up until he who shall not be named decided to have Villa on his coupon and cost us the game, we were actually pretty much nullifying them very well. We were making it very difficult for them. They had next to nothing going forward, Villa, that day. We completely stifled them. And then, you know, we looked relatively okay-ish going down the right-hand sides with, I think, Williams and Johnson that day, who played fairly well in the first half, looked like they might get us something or get us on the pitch at least. And then, obviously, you know, we made the mistake and then imploded. But I don't think... we might actually, because we've got no striker. How we set up is going to be dependent on who's fit. I think if Taiwo is fit, then we'll likely go forward at the back. It'll probably be a bit more adventurous. We might try and get at him a bit more. If he's not fit, then depends what we play. Is it going to be a false nine? Is it going to be five at the back and just Elanga and Gibbs White up front picking up the pieces? It's hard to tell because we don't know who's going to be fully fit. But from Villa, I expect they'll be full of confidence. They're having a great time at the minute. They're my favourites to win the Conference League. I think that'll be their first major trophy since like the 90s. So, you know, they're riding high. They're living the dream at the minute. And again, though, there'll be some Forest fans who will say, oh, you know, look at Villa and how they're doing now after they sacked Dean Smith, who took them up the league and kept them up, et cetera, et cetera. But they all seem to overlook the Steven Gerrard spell and like how terrible that was. And like, you know, it made me laugh hearing Gary Neville say that, oh, none of the other managers come into like a good environment. And look at the mess Emery inherited last season with Villa, like near or in the bottom three. I think it was like two wins in like 10 or 11, something like that. They were losing every week. And, you know, he's done an absolutely incredible job there. I think he would have been a serious contender for manager of the year last season. I think taking Villa into Europe from that position. But, like you said, we are at home and we have every chance of winning. And I'm going to predict us that we do. I'm going to say that we're going to win 2-1. No idea how or where those guys are going to come from, but we're going to win 2-1. Calling it.
Leviosa.
93rd minute again.
Yeah, well, Reece.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting a good game on Saturday. And these are probably the first team...
Saturday? You mean Sunday, pal?
Sunday, sorry.
I'll be turning up Saturday, mate. No one will be there. Oh, lights will be off.
We can all live in hope, can't we?
You might get a game up front the way this comes up.
I think Pau Torres would have an easy afternoon with me personally. As I was going to say, I can see, because he's the kind of the first team really you'd say who come into the City Ground this season with some real quality. That's no disrespect. Well, it is disrespectful to the others, but it's factual. So I am interested how the game's kind of going to go. It might be a bit of end-to-end because, like Christian just said, Villa are on a crest of a wave. They're probably going to come to us and think we can beat these and take 3 points back to the West Midlands. So it'll be interesting. And they've got, you know, John McGinn and Douglas Luiz like to battle, don't they, in that midfield. So it'll be, that midfield battle will be really interesting. So I'm really curious to how we line up and how it kind of goes. I'm just looking at Villa's away form now, and they have had a couple of heavy defeats, to be fair, away. I mean, it is to Newcastle and Liverpool, but they've then gone on to beat Burnley and, as we did, Chelsea. And then they've lost to Legia Warsaw and beat Altmar in the Conference League. But the other one as well, which is probably closer to home, really, for us, is they drew away at Wolves, which is a 1-1. I know that's kind of a bit of a derby, isn't it, for them? So, again, there's that element into it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, because we've all said as well, haven't we, that we want to test ourselves against better sides, especially at home, definitely when we've got the crowd and that behind us. And fingers crossed we can pull out a result. I'm not going to be as optimistic as Christian, as much as I'd like to be, but I do personally think it'll be a draw, and I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
That's fair enough. Well, Lee has got in. So he's put Head 2-0 loss, Hart 1-0 win, Sangare goal, and shushes everyone, which would be hilarious. Like, shush Aaron.
Not without finish against Luton.
shush Aaron Crowe, that'd be brilliant. I'm kind of going to sit on the fence, and I think we'll probably get a draw, a hard-fought draw because of the personnel. I'd love us to nick a win somehow, but I just think Villa are more likely to win. They'll probably be the favourites, which actually might suit us in a sense.
Yeah, they'll
be favourites, yeah. Like, maybe they'll be a bit more overexposed in certain areas because they think they can just do what they want. So, but I think stopping like the likes of Diaby, Luiz and Watkins is going to be so key in this game. They frighten me, to be honest, Villa. They're such a...
Luton stopped Watkins, to be fair.
Yeah, I know. Shame, because he was my captain in FPL, but never mind.
Oh, even better.
As we said, if you've enjoyed this one, then I can't even get my words out. If you've enjoyed it, obviously, hit the like, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. We're doing quite well there now. I finally begged for some likes and some followers. And as ever, we'll see you in the next one, hopefully for a preview. If not, for the review of the Villa game next week. Take care. Come on, your Reds.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.